Welcome, everybody, to the Monday Morning Joe podcast presented by Discount Garage Doors and Bill Curry Ford. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com, one of the Joes, and it's not Monday morning. It's a Tuesday special this time, and as I've said many times, the day is going to change, or the time of day isn't set in stone. It's just how it goes. But I appreciate all of you listening, tuning in. The numbers have been great. The podcast is available to you on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, but it always pops first right at JoeBucksFan.com. Four games to go. The home stretch is here. Dirk Cutter, 27 days of life, maybe less, maybe more. We don't know, but change is coming in some form or another, unless somehow the Buccaneers win out and shock the NFL world and make the playoffs, and something's coming to this team after this season. So, the soap opera, like it does for every team, continues on. But four games to go now, and the Bucs have a two-game winning streak. And, you know, like so many of you, you sit down and you try to figure out, what does it all mean? Where are they? Where is this team? What's reality? What's an illusion? What is the greatest needs? What are the prospects for the rest of these games? Fans don't really take one game at a time. Unless you're in pure playoff mode and it's all about the next game, fans don't go one game at a time. Players do, until they don't, until they start booking tee times and checking out and worrying about injuries and things like that. But it's a different mindset. I don't know if people working in the NFL really understand that. You know, being around coaches and executives and whatnot, I think it gets lost. What fans are all about really gets lost with these executive types and with coaches. Fans are fans, man. They're only 20 games a year. And if you're obsessed 365, there's a lot to think about, a lot to consider. And I think what we all share is that we all just want our team to win a Super Bowl, be good for a long time, make the right decisions. So I'm right with you there. I'm not one of these, I'm not a fan, guys. I just cover the team, guys. No, that's not how Joe Bucks Fan started. That's not how it will finish. And that's just not what we do. I know they're always first-time listeners to the podcast, so just like to get that out there. Now, one thing that's crazy about this team, hard to believe in some ways, but after 12 games, after the whole league now has played 12 games, no more bye weeks, everybody's on the same plane, 12 games in, the Bucs are the number one ranked offense. Most yards in the league. Close your eyes. Think about all those high-flying offenses around the NFL, all the stuff you've watched from the Chiefs and the Saints and the Rams. The Bucs have moved the ball better than any team in the league. Now, I know it's all about scoring. The Bucs are 10th in the NFL in scoring, which in most years is good enough to get you to the playoffs. Of the teams in the top 10 in scoring, probably 8 of those are going to make the playoffs, and it's the same thing every year. Obviously, you know, you score, you win. The league's about scoring points, but right now the Bucs, 10th-ranked offense for scoring points. That could probably go up pretty quickly. They're in a bunch with a few other teams that are ahead of them by fractions of a point. And number one, despite no running game, number one, Bucs averaged 3.9 yards a carry. That includes Jameis Winston running the best he ever has in his career at average yards per carry. He's up about five yards a carry. And there's no running game. There should be all kinds of open lanes to run the football with a deadly passing attack. All right? I mean, that's common sense. That's what it should be. These aren't a bunch of stacked boxes against the Bucs. But you know what? Somehow they haven't found a way to run the ball. And everybody and their brother admits that Peyton Barber runs hard and is pretty good. I'm not seeing Peyton Barber missing a ton of holes when I go back and watch the film. So it's really an indictment of the offensive line and the coaching staff and the runs they're calling and the design and the use of, I'll say, the fear of this passing game. They're not doing a great job. Bucs 30th in the league in average yards per carry. It's hard to believe. As much as that offense is hard to believe when you're playing rotating quarterbacks. If I told you the Bucs would have the number one offense in the league, and Ryan Fitzpatrick will start more than half the games because he's still started more than Jameis has this year. 7 for Fitz, 5 for Jameis. And they're still number one? Crazy. I look at it as, you know what? It sort of tells you that the coaching staff has kind of bungled this season. How do you move the ball that well and not put up enough points to win more games and to sit there with a 5-7 record? And now it's obvious that there was enough talent on defense to at least be a little below average, which would have gotten this team to a much better record. Right now, as Dirk Cutter sits, I don't think anybody can argue that he hasn't gotten the most out of this team. He's probably two games behind the curve, at least one or two. And unless he can finish really, really strong, most likely, whatever the ceiling of this team was, I think the Bucks are going to be at least two games under that. If the ceiling was 10, then they're probably going to be two under that. And that's no good when you just came up probably, what, three or four games behind your ceiling the year before. It's just not looking good for Cutter. Anybody who listens here knows I'm all in favor of getting rid of him. Those bad starts by Cutter were enough for me. 3-5 his first year, 2-6, 3-5. It's a bad pattern, and I don't see him as a Super Bowl coach, the guy who's going to bring it home. But this is a wacky, wacky team, and I do think they're going to win more games this year. I do cheer when that whistle blows. I don't want to see them lose. Doesn't do me any good for my business here at JoeBucksFan.com. Everybody loves a winner. Winning is interesting. Even if you want change, winning is much more exciting than losing by 14 to the Panthers. And it's uplifting. And fans are fans. Fans want wins. Some want to play for the draft. I'm not a play for the draft guy. Mathematically speaking, I don't think it's worth it when you look at the risk inherent in the draft and you look at the teams that have lower picks and how they've fared and all that stuff. Plus, people pay to watch the team win. They don't pay to watch the team lose. So I think you have an obligation, especially at home, to give it your all. One group that always gives its all is my friends at Bill Curry Ford, just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. About a mile, not even. And the beautiful showroom on the right, Bill Curry's been a Tampa institution for 58 years, might be almost 59 years right now. Tremendous end-of-the-year opportunities at Bill Curry Ford. You want to go and reach out to General Manager Sean Sullivan, big Bucks fan. Whatever price you find on BillCurryFord.com, and they have transparent pricing, it's honest pricing. Whatever you find there, tell them you heard about him on Joe Bucks Fan, or mention Joe Bucks Fan, or the Monday Morning Joe podcast, or even Thursday's Free Stretch podcast with Bobby Fenton. Just tell Sean, and you're going to get $500 off that price. But you're also entitled to the renowned nationwide lifetime warranty at Bill Curry Ford, and that's on new and pre-owned vehicles. All the details are at BillCurryFord.com. Remember, Bill Curry Ford, when you're shopping, this is the time of year to get a vehicle. You definitely want to head over there. I'm not a big stats guy, but I bring up those numbers because coaches look at numbers. They do. They really do. And potential coaches is where my head is mostly at. And what does it say if the Bucks can somehow ride this season to finish as the number one offense? Let's say they go 7-9 with the number one offense, like the Saints did for a couple of years before their recent run. What does that say? What does that tell another head coach? What does that tell the fan base? Because that's what we're looking at. A top 10 offense in points scored and a number one offense overall. It's going to be somewhere in there. Maybe they finish second overall in yardage and seventh overall in scoring. Something like that is coming. So that's not a rebuild. It really isn't. And that's awfully attractive. Right? We talk about what's an attractive job, what's an attractive place to go. People are talking about how the Browns' job, because of Baker Mayfield, is so attractive. Well, would you rather have Baker Mayfield or Jameis Winston, assuming Jameis continues playing the way he's playing to close out this season? I mean, is that really a clear answer? Yes, the Browns have a lot of talent around on defense, etc., some nice pieces on offense, but are they better than what the Bucks have overall? I don't know. I don't know if I could really say that. And certainly they wouldn't have been able to prove it. Whereas if the Bucks finish this season with those kinds of offensive numbers, it's extraordinary. You know, I take a look at what Dirk Cutter, of all people, did when he got to Atlanta. Not a lot of people really recognize this, but when Cutter got to Atlanta, he took over for Mike Mularkey. And Cutter saw an offense that was working pretty well. And he went to Matt Ryan and said, look, man, I'm not looking to tear this down. Let's go over the offense and I'll learn your offense and I'll incorporate new concepts and we'll figure it out together. But I want to keep a lot of what's working and let's do this. That's why, for many reasons, Cutter has talked in the past about how he always used to watch Tennessee Titans film to look for ideas, because they had very much the same offense, and that was Mike Mularkey coaching with the Titans at that time, not the new guy calling plays now, Matt LaFleur. So I hope I got his first name right. And Matt LaFleur, I don't know. But no, I don't think he's a good head coaching candidate like a lot of people think. He worked for McVay and whatever. I think he's a little too green. I don't want him, just in case you're wondering. But I think a new head coach, a new offensive mind, whoever it is, could come in here and do something similar, saying, look, let's work with what's working here and not tear it apart just out of ego's sake, or we're going to do it my way or coach my scheme like Lovey was. And I think that's an important thing to watch, is to see how this offense finishes. I think it also, and I mentioned this on a previous podcast, it also leaves the door open to hiring a defensive coach who might be willing to retain Todd Monken and keep Monken in charge and go that route, right? Because if the offense is working, it's working. You can't deny it. You can't spin it, whatever. It's deep, you know, it's and with no running game. So at least you have a clear area of improvement. It's exciting for Bucs fans. It's a different kind of new regime or regime change that could be coming because of a clear-cut, strong element to the roster. Unlike when Raheem Morris took over and the thing was old and gutted. Unlike when Greg Schiano took over, when the whole thing had just completely fallen apart and there were key injuries and Rondé Barber was getting old and they had dumped some players. Well, you know what, Rondé Barber, yeah, exactly. So it's different this time, is really the point I'm trying to make. And sure, there are Cutter fans out there. I know there are people who still have confidence in Dirk Cutter. I just don't see it. I don't think he's the guy to get it done. And that's fine. I don't have to. Now, in this game that we just had against the Panthers, a lot of good things. The physicality on the defensive line, we're seeing the vision of Jason Light, and it sort of looks the way we want it to look. I mean, Gerald McCoy, from everybody I've talked to, and even listening to Anthony Becht and others on the radio after they looked at the film, everybody loves what McCoy turned in this game. The pressure, it was an old McCoy kind of game. Even Ian Beckles, who is the avowed McCoy basher. So, and I was fine with McCoy myself. A JPP brings it all the time. Nassib has been very impressive. Vita Vea is getting better. And they did more of a complete rotation in this game. Vinnie Curry's getting healthy. Bo Allen is not what the Bucs hoped he would be, and neither is Will Golston, but these are still legitimate NFL players. And it's looking a lot better. It's not a defensive line that you want to face right now, and that's really the goal. Levante David made a massive difference coming back, and they got Riley Bulla out of there in a hurry, switching to Kevin Minter, which I think was a good idea, and that proved to be a good job. Duffner is, you can't even measure how this guy has turned things around. And one thing I really wanted to focus on, because I think it's so important, I haven't written it up yet on JoeBucksFan.com, but it's a critical element here, and you search and you look. It's like, I don't even know how to explain it. When you're somebody who analyzes the team 24/7 like we do at JoeBucksFan.com, you're studying, and you're looking for glimpses of reality, because you get a lot of coach speak, you get a lot of BS from the coaches, and you get player talk, which isn't candid truth, and all kinds of spin, and you have to rely on your instincts in a lot of ways and look for the little nuggets you get and make sure you don't miss them. And one of those came the other day in the locker room to Ira Kaufman, and he wrote it in his column for Joe Bucks Fan on Wednesday. And I'm going to read this quote from Jordan Whitehead. "I felt it today when we were back there covering." Whitehead talked about confidence and enthusiasm and playing loosely. "Cam didn't have much time and he couldn't step up. That rush made our job easier on the back end. When you get four interceptions, that tell you our line did a lot of good work. Duff's message," meaning Mark Duffner, "is start fast, no soft coverage." Now let me repeat that last line. "Start fast, no soft coverage." Now I read that, and it's, again, that's an exact quote, and I was like, damn, Rondé Barber must have said, he said on the broadcast, and Barber met personally with Mike Smith, and he said on the broadcast months ago, and has said it before, Mike Smith loves off coverage in his defense. He likes soft coverage. I've had discussions with this directly one-on-one with Brent Grimes about off coverage, soft coverages, and playing in Mike Smith's defense, and Grimes prefers to play off because he has the instinctive ability to get away with that, and he prefers to see everything in front of him, and it's a different way to do it, and he's acknowledged that that's more of a veteran way to do it versus the way you'd want to play it as a younger player because you haven't seen enough yet. But Mike Smith was all about the off coverage. It was obvious, and as much as he wanted to tell these guys, Ryan Smith and Vernon Hargraves, hey, you know, you have some flexibility in how far off you're going to be, say 5 yards or 9 yards, that's your discretion. But the message was that off coverage is what we want. And now the message is no soft coverage. That's the message, and it's showing up on the field. And it's part of Duffner's aggressive mentality and a realization here that what was before certainly wasn't working. And you know what? There's a lot to playing tighter coverage when things are better on the defensive line, but at least trusting in that, because it also makes life tougher for the quarterback versus the soft coverage and knowing that it's there and being comfortable and confident that, wow, you know, if I throw this ball, the guys aren't going to be good chance the defender won't be within 5 yards of my guy. And some of that's an exaggeration, but it's, a lot of that is reality. So I think there's a big difference here going on. And deferring everything to Mike Smith, which is what Dirk Koetter did, and not playing aggressively, and not self-scouting his team as an offensive coach, man, I have to think that if Monken and Dirk Koetter sat down and scouted the Bucks defense as offensive coaches and how they'd pick it apart, they would have come up with what every other freaking offensive coordinator in the league came up with against Mike Smith's defense. We can complete passes all day and carve them up. But Dirk Koetter was unwilling to do that. Sit down with Monken and pull a little off the offense, a little time out of the offense, and self-scout his own defense. They didn't do it to the level that they should have. I have no doubt. And these are the guys, Koetter and Monken, who are the architects of the number one offense in the NFL. And the head coach has got to be the head coach of the whole team. And I think Koetter really failed in that area, and the Bucks are paying the price for it now by, and you can see it in the drastic change in the defense. Now, kudos to Koetter for getting rid of Mike Smith. Should have happened before the bye week, but was that his call? We don't know. We'll probably never know. If I had to guess, I'd say the Glazers and Jason Light told them, look, you have our blessing. It's your team, but we'd love to wave goodbye to Mike Smith and give away his parking spot. It's frustrating, especially when you look at this team right now. The Bucks, one more game and they're 6-6. If they beat the Giants, maybe if Jameis Winston starts that game, if they put you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't melt down against the Redskins at home. 3 points, 500 yards, a new NFL record, despite 500 yards. It's frustrating because at 6-6, the Bucs would be in pretty damn good shape right now. Let's say they did beat the Redskins. Right now, they'd be ahead of the Redskins. They would have a tiebreaker on the Eagles. I believe they'd have a tiebreaker on the Panthers. I have to check. And they'd be in good shape. But it just illustrates where they could and should be, but they're not there. So, you know, the number one thing fans are talking about, at least the ones that I run into, is what's next for the coaching staff. Is Cutter going to make it? And, you know, he's going to need a miracle. He's going to need to show in these final games that he's not the coach that he was in his first 40 games of his career. He's going to have to show that he's a new coach to make a believer out of, I believe, everybody who has an important decision ahead. Regarding important decisions, your garage door is an important part of your house. It is, for its value, for its functionality, for security, for a lot of reasons. And Discount Garage Doors is the best garage door company around. It's a local company, just about 20 years. Now they serve 18 counties from across Florida, based right here in the Tampa Bay area. Best prices. They're going to match prices. They're going to beat prices. They give you a free service call, a free diagnosis. That's no joke. 7 days a week, they'll come out to your home and check everything out, tell you what you need, show you a wonderful assortment of new doors if you need a new door. Otherwise, they can fix your door, or they'll just give you an estimate and you can shop around. You can't beat the service. Discount Garage Doors, dgdoors.com is the website, dgdoors.com. Great coupons there, great information, great knowledge base you can pick up there. If you do buy a new door, tell them you heard about it on Joe Bucks Fan. You will get 10% off. No joke, 10% off. Their phone number, 866-420-DOOR. On Joe Bucks Fan, you can see the ad all the time. It's right there, new garage doors, garage door repairs. Click on that. It'll take you to the website. Discount Garage Doors. A lot of listeners have used their service, which is why they're still advertising here. And those people are happy. They've let me know. So definitely check them out. Speaking of repairs, just a little note from the locker room after the game. Gerald McCoy's son was in there helping him get dressed. And you see the toll that a game takes on McCoy. I've seen it before. But, you know, his son was helping him put on sort of like a zippered up sweatshirt, like you might help a woman put her coat on kind of thing. I'm not calling McCoy a woman, just giving a visual here. And he needed the assistance. And, you know, it's the NFL, but you realize you see that toll and McCoy still grinding through. The guy does has taken a beating and does care deeply, deeply. It'll be interesting to see how the Pro Bowl vote comes down this year. I know the fans aren't going to vote McCoy in, but the coaches and the players, we'll see if he goes to seven straight. It would say a lot, as I think it does in most years. You can't just say he gets in on name only. It doesn't make any sense. He's not popular among the fans across the nation, and the voting reveals that. Hopefully JPP gets in. 11.5 sacks. Just a warrior. What a great pickup. And Mike Evans now third in the NFL in receiving yards. Third. Now you see him have a couple of off games. You see him get knocked out here and there. He battles injuries as well. But at the end of the day, here he is, third in the league in receiving yards. Fantastic. Really proud of the guy. One of the good guys on the Bucs. And they're really deep with good guys. I'm not going to put DeSean Jackson in that category. Not that he's a criminal or something, but is he a team first guy? No, but that offense is really, really filled with a lot of team first guys and has a lot of potential going forward and a lot of room to build on it. And they're young as well. So it's a great core on that offense. Defensively, you know, you see Andrew Adams having that big day, three interceptions, and you got to give Jason Light credit. There are a limited number of guys on the street. And sure, you could say, well, I can't give him that much credit because he picked the wrong guys to start in the secondary to begin with and whatever. But you take it as it is. 3 weeks on the street after 2 years with the Giants, Andrew Adams is out there and Bucks pick him up. He did flash. in the little bit he played prior to Sunday's game. And here he is getting his shot, three picks. Hey, kudos to Jason Light. Kudos for that pickup and for getting a guy who helped you win a game off the street. And Javion Elliott, I think, has played better than MJ Stewart did earlier in the season. I think it was a classic case of them force feeding a rookie in there and who was a little bit slow and a little bit unaware, and the growing pains and the him not being that great really hurt the Bucks early. So, you know, not saying Stewart has no career, but, you know, just a lot of things have gone wrong on that Bucks defense, but it's turning around. Four more games to go. Here at JoeBucksFan.com, I always like to let everybody know we just keep on grinding along, doing looking for whatever we can to share with you that's interesting about the Bucks, to let you decide, even though we'll give you our opinion. You make the most informed opinion that you can about everything. Stay passionate about the Bucks. A really cool thing that I heard before the game, and I'm going to write about this as well, Michael Clayton talked about how he called the Glazers after he heard they were giving away free tickets. Called them up on the phone and said, "Hey, look, Bucks, I'm a big advocate in the foster care community in the Tampa Bay area. You're giving away free tickets. How about we try to get every possible foster kid to that game Sunday against the Panthers?" And Clayton didn't give a lot of details, but he said the Buccaneers told him, "Let's do it." And they ended up making a day for 225 kids to go to that game on Sunday. Very cool, behind the scenes, not something you would have heard anywhere. And it's important to note that the Bucks pay for those tickets, not free tickets. They pay for those tickets. They have to cut, I think, a third of the face value to the NFL for any ticket. So you can't just give away free tickets and paper the house. You do have to cut. The NFL has to get its share for every ticket distributed. So it's not all free, and good for the Bucks. And I'm going to get more information on that. They actually gave tickets to ex-players, contacted them all and said, "Hey, you played for the Bucks, come on in." So yeah, that's kind of neat. Not that the ex-players need the tickets or whatever, but as we wind down here, I really want to see how the Bucks come out on Sunday. Do they show the urgency? Do they act like this is a playoff game, like the last two games were? Do they, and should have been the case against the Giants as well. But will they bring that urgency? Will they take the knowledge they have of the Saints and the comfort level they have against the Saints and make this a game on Sunday? That's what I want to see. It seems odd to root for the Bucks yet be sure that the coach is going to get fired, but I want to see good things. The better they play, you would think the better this coaching job will be as far as attraction, the easier the job is in the off season, and they have so many guys who can step forward here. Chris Godwin continuing to rise, looking like a number two guy, and maybe even a number one guy. He's just a really good football player. I love seeing that burst from him on that catch and run. And one thing Godwin said, he did an interview on, I think it was a fantasy football show on Sirius the other day after the game. And he said, they asked him about, you know, his role or whatever. He said, I think the quote was, "I'm the go-to guy." That's how he approaches every game, starter or not. I'm the go-to guy. And he's just the ultimate team guy. He's just the ultimate mentality, and so much to build on from these guys. I know I mentioned it before, but it gets you more excited for next season. It does for me anyway, because a solid finish, solid performances by these players. What do the Bucks need to do on offense? I mean, sure, you need a right guard, got to fix that situation. That's not exactly the toughest situation to fill in the NFL. Sure, it looks like everything's fine at quarterback going into next year. You need a running game. Maybe right guard fixes that. Maybe a better offensive line coach. Keep in mind, this is 5 years now for not three under Cutter. It's 5 years total for George Warhop. No matter what, I think you need a new fresh voice in there. These guys could probably benefit from it. How could they not? You learn something new from each coach, and Warhop's not good enough really to get 5 years in this league straight through. He hasn't accomplished enough to earn it. And you go get a running back that they've missed on for many years. Ronald Jones may or may not be a bust. He might thrive under a new regime. But if you go draft another running back, let him compete with Jones and Barber, I think you'll be all right. Go get the right guy. I think you might just be all right. So it gives you a lot of freedom to get after it on defense in the draft and loading up on cornerbacks. Bucks are going to have money to spend. So a good offseason should be ahead no matter how this thing goes down. But if the team falls apart and you start wondering, do we have a bunch of mental, bunch of head cases here and guys who are rolling over, too many guys, I expect some guys will roll over. You know, it makes it all very ugly. So, hey, here's where we are, and we can just enjoy it, right? Four more weeks of football, maybe five if the Bucks can pull off a miracle and get to a wild card, maybe even six, right? I'm not into the whole miracle thought process, but it is still out there. So I expect the players, though, to not think like fans. I expect them to think like players and say, hey, we've beaten the Saints two in a row. We're in the playoff chase here. We got to get after it. It's our home turf. And it'll be a glorious day if they do win on Sunday, especially because we would retire the Den of Depression nickname, since they would have actually had a winning record this year. They'd go to 5-2 at home if they can win on Sunday. As far as the locker room goes, I mentioned a couple of things. I don't have too much more to mention. You know, if you didn't see it, I wrote a story. It's on Joe Bucks Fan. It's on the right-hand side under Hot Stories, I think. About Gerald McCoy talking about the dinner, the full defense dinner that they did, and Javian Elliott saying that maybe it made a difference. Maybe it did. I don't know. But a little bit interesting, something you didn't see anywhere else. You can read about that. They actually went to two dinners. And locker room, you know, I didn't, you know, studying a lot of stuff in there, I didn't see anything unique, anything that really, you know, is worth sharing. I think Jameis Winston, though, continuing to be very subdued, very calm, very focused, not, you know, just sort of like completely in some sort of zone that's working for him right now. He hasn't wavered from it, from what I've seen. And I think that's good. Well, I don't know if it's a new Jameis or just a new thing he's trying or what, but it'll be very interesting to see how he progresses with that and his voice in public voice to media. And even we saw a little glimpse of that behind the scenes in last week's locker room video that I talked about in the last podcast, where Jameis was very subdued after JPP rallied everybody in the post-game locker room. We'll see. I think that demeanor from Jameis is worth watching and studying and noting. And do we have a new Jameis? Hey, if he goes three in a row with no turnovers, that is extremely impressive from any quarterback. And quite a testament to him understanding and realizing his troubles and how to fix them. You can't say he doesn't know how to play, that he can't do it. If he goes this week playing turnover free against the Saints and their excellent pass rush, probably likely the Bucs have to throw the ball a ton since they're the number one ranked run defense. It's going to be and they probably will play it from behind at some point, which puts more stress on Jameis. He's been playing with a lead, different ball game that way, but we'll see. All right. Hey, I always appreciate you tuning in, and have a great week. Get fired up for the Saints game. If you're going, should be fun. No matter what happens, it should be some good football out there. And we appreciate it. Go Bucks.